how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to
Amen. It's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of you love testimonies? Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Irajwa to share her testimony with us. Please help me welcome Irajwa.
My name is Irajwa Donko from Tema Center and a member of Greater Love Choir. Please, my testimony is about how God delivered me from an armed robbery attack some few months ago. During one of our branch services, we were gathering people, so I was calling people, and I was passing through a dark area, and not knowing there was an armed robber hiding somewhere in the dark, so I couldn't see him. So from behind, he said, hey. So I didn't know what. I've never been attacked before. So he got hold of my bag and told me that if I don't leave it, he will stab me with a knife. So the bag contained a laptop, new tablet and a phone. So I didn't want to let go of the bag, so I was holding it tightly. So I wanted to struggle with the bag, but all I remember that moment was an illustration Daddy was making with Pastor Joshua about how a finger costs, how your soul is very precious, and how it costs to lose a finger or an arm. So I just lost grip of the bag and the thief went away with it. But I remember that and he was ready to stab me if I don't leave it. Because if he waited a long time, someone would come in and see us and he wouldn't take away what he had. So he went away with it. And even though I lost something, but my life was preserved. And I can say to the glory of God that it's from Daddy's prayers and what I remembered at that very moment. So I want everybody to believe in the prophecy and prayers of our Daddy. They are very real. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have another testimony. Help me welcome Prosper to share his testimony with us.
My name is Prosper from Tema Center. My testimony is about how God has delivered me from adult worshiping and then also from fornication and also from fraud. I'm from a family which those things are, adult worshiping is very common over there. And then when we grew up in adult worshiping, and then when we were going to SS, we have to carry some things and then we, and all of that. But by the grace of God, I came to Legon, and then one day, Daddy had a service at Commonwealth Hall. So a friend invited me and then I came there. So when I came and Daddy made an altar call, and then I gave my life to Christ. And then Daddy named us the big big names club, and we were five. And then I was very happy that I gave my life to Christ that day. But the devil didn't stop there. He continued to harass me when he brought a lady into my life. And then this lady actually, I was in love with this lady, and they got a time. They the lady said she was not in love with me again. So she said so I told a friend, and a friend said, "Why? Oh, this one is just a small thing, cry." So he sent me to a fetish priest. And then the fetish priest did whatever he has to do, but it didn't work. But later on too, it didn't work. So I contacted another friend, and he also sent me to a pastor. And a pastor also gave me some things. It looks like concoction and all those things to also use it. But all those things didn't work. And then one day I came daddy's service at National Theater. And then I was also planning, because of the lady, I was planning to go into frauding because I want to get money to impress the lady. So I bought a laptop, and when I came to the service, daddy said, "Treasures gained by wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death." So since then, I took it personally, and then I said, from here, I will not do it again. So I threw all the things that they gave me, and I threw it away. I said, whatever that will happen, should happen. I threw everything away. And then, by the grace of God, today, I'm a bus captain, I'm a gatherer, a church a highway planter, and a member of the choir. I thank God so much for the life of Daddy and LP Vivaldi and LP Ama for all this and the First Love Church. Thank you.
Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. We have our final testimony. Help me welcome Abubakar to share his testimony with us.
Hallelujah. My name is Sia Abubakar Samura. I'm part of the Greater Love Choir. I want to thank God for the life of our father for planting a church back in Sierra Leone. I remember 4 years ago, I was invited to Lighthouse Chapel International Church back in Sierra Leone at Ogu Farm. I went to church as a Muslim. I didn't understand. But as I got to the church, the message that they preach moved me more. And they called me for altar call, and then I went forward and gave my life. But yet still, I was still not convinced. I came back home and met one of our imam, that is the leader of the Muslim mosque, and I asked him about this particular question. And he told me that it is true. Jesus is the Son of God. So I was confused and asked him, I said, what do you mean? But at first he told me that this man is just a prophet. But then he told me that is all he have to say. Jesus is the Son of God. I am asking too much questions. I should get out. So I went outside. That is the first confirmation. The second one, during the Ebola crisis, when Ebola came into Sierra Leone, the president of the nation told every one of us that we should fast and pray. Be you Muslim, Christian, or pagan, or idol worshiper, we should fast and pray. At 6 p.m. in the evening, we're supposed to give a shout to the name of Jesus. So I was watching and hoping that these idol worshippers and also the Muslim will not say that particular word. But to my surprise, when it is 6 p.m. in the evening, I stood by one of the medicine man, the juju man, and then I heard this man saying, "Jesus." Then I got the confirmation that Jesus is really the Son of God. So it also give me the appetite to continue to go to church. And finally, I get to know that there is a scholarship at Anakazu Bible Seminary Center. So I give myself and decide to come. As I come to Bible school, I told my mother that she also should follow me wherever I am. That is the place that she should be. And by the glory of God, my mother now is a converted and a committed Christian. Because she grew up as a Muslim, but now she is a Christian. I want to give the glory of God to our Father for this such opportunity given us in Sierra Leone to give ourselves for the gospel of Christ. I also want to advise every one of you, if you are sitting here thinking that the Muslim will not change, it's a lie. A Muslim can be changed and converted to become a Christian. And I want us all to get hand and walk together with our Father and do evangelism and win the lost at all costs. God bless you all.
Amen. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, we have another ministration. If you're excited, help me welcome Ida.
Jesus, what now that we found Christ, what are we?
We have another ministration. Do you want to hear another ministration? Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome the Milky Way stars.
There comes a time we must heed a certain call, and we must come together and preach.
We must share the word of God.
by the light of God. And it's true, we will make a better world through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Are you having a great time? Church, it's time for the word of God. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe God has a word for you and I. If you're excited, make your loudest noise. Let's welcome our Father, Bishop Doug Ewart Mills.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here today? Are you expecting God to speak to you today? Are you expecting your life to change levels today? Lift your hands. Father, thanks for your power. Thank you that today is time for an encounter that changes our levels in this life forever. Thank you for your presence that is working in our lives. Thank you. I want everybody to just pray and ask God to speak to you this morning, to guide you and to lift you to the next level for your life today, in the name of Jesus. One encounter with God, and that is it. One encounter with the Lord, and you are done. Today is such an encounter. Today is such an encounter. Today is such an encounter. This Sunday morning is such an encounter. You are here to receive a wonderful impartation that will change everything about your life. Whatever plague is attached to you is disconnected today in the name of Jesus. Whatever followed you here that is not a good thing is disconnected from your life today. You are not going back the same. You are not going back with the same problem. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's power is working powerfully in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Wow. What a blessing. Now, every time you come to church, I want you to know that God is taking you to the next level. Psalm 84, verse 7. It says, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So they go from strength to strength anytime you appear before God. So as you have appeared today in the house of the Lord, you are going from strength to strength. Whoever is weak, your strength has come. Whatever is weak about you is being strengthened today. Whatever is not working is beginning to work now. as you sit here under the anointing. The anointing is changing you. And Saul was changed into another man. You are being changed into another man by the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right. This morning is the last session on the interviews of Jesus. So, why do we need private interviews? So that you can receive something you cannot receive from afar. Psalm 65 and verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house and of thy holy temple. So when you are caused to draw near, you are totally blessed. Hallelujah. You are what? Receive your blessing in Jesus' name. Your amen confirms and establishes all words that are spoken in your life. Whatever you say amen to happens practically in your life. Amen. Private interviews are also to explain things that cannot be explained in public. Amen. There are things that you cannot have the answers for. Sometimes you need to be told in private. Jesus told his disciples in private that one of them was a devil. But he didn't say it in public. He didn't preach and say, one of my disciples is a devil. He just told them, I chose you and one of you is a devil. The 12 of them, so the one of you is a devil. But he told them in private. So there are certain things you have to say only to 12 people. That is serious. One of you is a devil. So the devil in you will be exposed in a private interview. Whoever carried a demon here, I rebuke that devil in Jesus' name. Amen. And in private, you are entitled to the greatest teachings. The greatest teachings are not the ones you get even in public, in the church. The church is more private than a crusade. But as you get more private, you get more great teachings. You hear things that affect your life and that guide you. Hallelujah. So, and even the more private a service is, the more you hear certain things. For instance, the camps where I had fewer people are the camps that I said and preach some of the greatest camp messages. Yes. Because you see, the presence of certain people means you can't say certain things. Just the fact that they came to church, you can't say certain things. Are you with me? You can't, and you won't. When you even see them, the spirit will not move. It's true. And once certain people join certain meetings, certain things are out of the question. You may not like to hear that, but it is true. Right? So, private interviews are also for knowing somebody personally and not carrying your misconceptions about the person. Because many men of God depend on how you behave. Or what you say, you can get an impression of the person, right? And you'll be surprised, some of the men of God who are very well known for their powerful sermons are very, very shy people in real life. In real life, when I say real life, I mean outside the pulpit. They are very shy and very quiet. Some of them are very depressive. Some of them don't like having friends. I know many pastors who are very reclusive. They don't have friends. They don't talk. Just the whole day, they will say one word. They're sort of like Rambo, you know. Rambo hardly speaks in his films. If you watch Rambo, I think he spoke about 85 words in the whole film. The one that he... Murdoch, I'm coming to get you. That's all. But he didn't speak. So once somebody calculated how much he had earned for the words he had spoken, like 85 words, and he had earned millions. So it's like so much per word. Because he didn't say anything the whole film. He was just acting. So there are some pastors like that. They don't say anything. They are just there. And there are some husbands like that. And there are some wives also like that. I pray for you that you get the right one. Every amen you say establishes a word spoken over your life. Hallelujah. Now, it is only when you know at a certain level that you become fruitful. Many people are fruitless because they are close, but not close. Not, I wouldn't say not close enough. Like all of you are sitting next to each other. Just shift closer to the person next to you. It doesn't make you pregnant. Do you understand? Because sitting close to somebody cannot impregnate you. Are you with me? You need to be close in a certain way. Otherwise, you will not be pregnant. Are you there? Now, today I want to go on to a couple of interviews that Jesus had. And this is an interview that he granted the Sadducees in Matthew 22. Another word for Sadducees, sad to see. You will always be sad to see such people at the meeting. Verse 23. I want us to quickly go through because today is the last day. Whatever I don't go through, and that's it. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which said that there is no resurrection, and asked him, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Is it a good law? Huh? Bad policy. It's a very good policy. But you wouldn't know it because of your way of thinking today. You are thinking of something else. Not the right policies. You see, the reason why this scripture sounds what Moses said, which is what we are reading, it sounds strange to you. That if a man die, you know, we should marry his wife. I'll tell you why it sounds strange to you. But he went on, this guy said, there were seven brethren. The first, when he married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, up to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said, ye do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven, as touching the resurrection of the dead. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Amen. So this is beautiful. Jesus said, Moses had given them this instruction, which is the laws of Moses, we have them. If a man dies, his brother should marry his wife. Now, the reason why this sounds strange to you, and you are shouting bad policy, is because you have never met a widow before in a certain way. You don't know what a widow is. Yes. You are all not widows. And even beloved, you don't have. Some of you. And sex has been contaminated by satanic drops, because animals is one of the five things they do: eat, drink, sleep, have sex, and bring forth. It's only activities without thinking. They don't watch pornography to have erections. They just flow and it works. They don't take medicine and it works. Do you get it? So, if you ever meet, if in the Bible, marriage stands a lot, not about sex, but about provision. That is why the Bible says, if a man does not care for his own, he is worse than an infidel. So you have to look after your wife and children. Do you understand? And one of the ways you also look after is to give her a seed to have a child, which if you ask the women in their unedited, you get an unedited answer. They will tell you that, honestly, I just want a child and I just want to marry. I just want to be owned by somebody, especially after they've had a child. You can see they don't have to tell you, I don't want it. I just want to own, have a child. And they don't care much about other things. I met somebody who said that an average person switches off after. They have a switch on and off. They switch off after they have the things that they want. So you find out that marriage has to do a lot with providing for. That is why the Bible, you know, when Paul was giving advice to pastors, he said they shouldn't drink, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do this, and they should marry only one. You know, because to have 2, 3, 4 with children, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you find a lot of pastors with children that they are not looking after. And families that they are not caring for. So that is why he said that. But as for marrying many, it is in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, and so on. And even when Jesus was asked this question, he didn't say, don't marry 7, adding on the wife that is not good. He was being asked about eternity, but something that they were practicing. So when you haven't met a widow, me, I have seen widows in the midst of their years. It's one of the saddest desolations you can ever see. And even if you were the one, You know, if you think about it clearly, you would prefer the one who has the desolation that person even should have rather died. And the person who is more whatever should be left. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that like of the couple, one of them become more desolate and more helpless. Do you understand? So the needs that the person has are so many and the person is left desolate. So I believe that what he was saying is not about, oh, you're going to have sex with so many people. Do you see your brother's wife and so on? But you are going to provide for her and care for her. The marriage is about looking after people. So if you don't want to look after, don't marry. That's why you should have a job before you marry. You can't just marry and just be there. You believe God. Okay? Those of us who, those husbands who don't provide, you know, there should not be arguments. Since I married, I can't remember any argument in my house about money. When I didn't have money and when I have money. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. And that must be your story. Yeah. You shouldn't argue about money. Even if there is no money. Like, it's no money for all of us. That's all. But not that one party senses that you have. And you are not, or you are using it on something else. Or somebody else. Or you don't understand what I'm talking about. So, some of us brothers are the worst possible people to marry for a sister in terms of provision. Not that you are a poor man. You don't need to be a rich person to provide. But that you are supposed to provide. So that is why when your brother's wife is there alone, you see, you're supposed to provide for her, care for her. Come, here is a place to stay. Here is food to eat. Here is whatever. You don't have a child. Everybody has a child. Here is a seed for your child. That's it. It's a provision. What do you think? Is it a good policy? It is the way you think. Yeah. The way you think makes something evil. And the way you think makes it good. Just by the way you think. So animals don't have, they haven't fallen into sin like us. They are pure in their natural behavior. They are not polluted. So they are not twisted and perverted and turned into something else. So sometimes looking at nature provides you great lessons on the purity of creation and what God's intention was. Are you with me? Yes. It was only after, let's take when you go to the swimming pool and you see people in swimming suits and bikinis, which are smaller than the panties that are being sold in town, the bikinis. Huh? And you see everybody walking around normally. And then because of the mind that it is swimming, it is normal. You see, so it is the way you are thinking that makes something like it's a bad thing. Yeah. Well, you are thinking that it is right for swimming, then. So we are very corrupted by our fall. Are you with me? And the more evil a person is, and the more fallen you are, the more you have certain thoughts and ideas. That is why some of these films, I don't know how Kunku Baja is, but some of these soap operas, I don't know what those things, I've never watched it before, but I just saw Indian speaking tree and that was funny to me. But these things, when you watch them and you learn how to be bad and badness and deception and lies and all that, more evil comes in you. So even things you haven't done before, you become like somebody who has lived all those things out. That is why a daughter of a woman who is bitter is often bitter by osmosis, the bitterness and the hatred for men and the warnings you have for men about men are transmitted to her without even speaking a word, and sometimes by talking. So you can meet somebody who has not done certain things but is more impure by watching, seeing, hearing and receiving. Yes. So you discover, and as you grow, everybody here will one day meet a widow or somebody whose husband has died in the midst of his years, in the midst of their lives, and you will see what it is like. Then you will remember this scripture where Jesus said that your brother should have mind. So even in Christ, like the brother, if this scripture was permitted in our minds, but it is not, but if it were, then the brother in Christ would take the person and say, come if you can. He's supposed to take you and care for you. Yes. It's a good policy. But you see, these are private things. So, and Jesus answered and said, ye do err. This is one of the most important things. Ye do err. You make mistakes. You are making mistakes. Why are you making mistakes? Not knowing the scripture or the power. So it is these two that prevent you from making a mistake and going astray. Both the scripture and then the power of God. So as we are here today, you don't only need the scripture, but you need the power. So that is why you need hands to be laid on you. You need to believe in the scripture, like the teachings I'm giving, but you also need to believe in the power. You need to believe in the power of the prophecies that are being transmitted to you. You must believe in them. And the more you say amen, the more you receive, the more you honor, the more you honor the prophet, your prophet, the more you gain access to the power. So error comes because you don't so when you go to certain churches or certain, you know, in the past we've had that, like, they really are into scripture. Scripture by scripture, scripture by scripture. This is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, which is how we are. But we make an error not only because we don't know the scripture, but also the power. So from me, you can receive two things, the scripture and the power. Most of us, many of us, depending on who you are more inclined to receive the scripture. But that is why in the First Love Church, I introduced one of the important things of honoring your prophet. Because the more you honor the prophet, then you gain access to the power the person carries. Yes. Many people have not accessed the power that is on my life. I mean, sheep under me, people under my ministry. They have accessed the scripture, but not the power. And you make a mistake, like you made a mistake. That was a mistake. He said, you do it. Means that was your mistake. That's your mistake. That's your mistake. That's your mistake. Because the thing is not being done by only the scripture, but it's also being done by the power. It's not like certain principles are working, certain rules are working, but there's some power that is also working. So you make an error when you only think of the scripture, but you don't realize the power, or you deal with only the power, but you don't deal with the scripture. So as you are here, that's why I said, believe in when I declare that a plague that came with you will not go back with you. You must believe it. Amen. And that is why we teach you to honor your prophet so that the power part of the person's ministry is also available to you. Because if there was no power, like Nicodemus said, you could not do these things except God was with you. So access the power, and that is why we have introduced Galatians 6:6, honoring your prophet, and even honor the prophet with the prophet's offering. You must learn to give prophets offerings. Yes. Which is different from giving an offering in church. To honor the prophet is to activate the power that the person carries and whatever the person is carrying. And the more you honor it, the more it works for you. The more it works for you. So you have people that are in church for years and they make that mistake of just accessing the scripture but not accessing the power. Access the scripture that the person has, but not the power. So there are people in church for years, they will not access, they don't honor the prophet. You see, if you read what Jesus said, he said, the prophet is not accepted, Mark 6:4, in his hometown, he's not accepted. And that is where Bible says Jesus could not do miracles, Mark 6. He couldn't. He could not. Verse 5. The next verse after. So put 4 and 5 up if you have it. 4 and 5 together. You see it says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own relatives. People who relate with him just on the natural basis. Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I say, I know you, this one, okay, this is what you say, all right, okay, I've listened to what you, I understand what you say, okay, I'll think about it, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll tell you my decision, and so on and so forth. Oh, put a verse back, all right? And among his own kin, okay, that is how it is, and in his own house, those type of people like that, and sometimes in a church, you know. But there, he says, and he could there, that's where there's no honor, that's where he could not do miracles. A very powerful, there was a great power. That power does not work where the thing is not honored. It's not respected. And that respect is shown through offerings. Like God said, if I am your father, where is my honor? Where is my honor? Where is the honor? It's a beautiful scripture. I said, where is the honor? Where is it? You show me where it is. If I'm your father, where is the honor? A son honoreth his father, and he must, if I am your father, or if I am your prophet, where? So it means that the honor is something you can actually show. You can actually tangibly see. If I am your father, where is the honor? Where is my fear? Go on, read on, bring more of the scriptures. You offer polluted bread. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? You see, it is offering polluted bread. The type of offering that you make. Because you are saying by what you are giving that the table of the Lord is contemptible. So I am teaching you. You are my children. You need what I have. I don't need anything from you. You know it. You know it for sure. Yeah. Continue. Verse 8. This is what people do. You offer the blind for sacrifice. So you see, many pastors are not honored. They received the blind as offerings, the lame, the sick. Then he says, okay, offer the same thing. Show your honor to the governor by giving him a blind goat or one with three legs. And will he accept your person? So we have learned how to give tithes, offerings, but not to honor the prophet. Yes. For years and years. So you make a mistake. That's what Jesus is saying in this private interview. You do err. You are making a mistake by accessing the scripture, but the power that the person carries, do you see, you don't access that power. And it's a mistake. It's a big mistake. Do you understand? So it's very important for everyone here to grow in your ability to access both the scripture side of a person's ministry and the power side of the person's ministry. And the power is zero where there is no respect for it. Yes. There's zero power. You just get scriptures. You just get principles. So I am teaching you to honor and honor properly. Honor in a way that you know that you've honored. I'm teaching you because it will help you. It is what I have done. You know, when I visited Kenneth Hagin, I've received from him. I gave an offering to him. But out of the crowd, somebody who he doesn't. Kenneth Hagin Jr. does not know my, didn't know my name, and up till today does not know my name. But he located me the next day and said, I should please come with him to see his father, which was a surprise to me. I never expected to see or even hear thank you. I don't mind not hearing thank you because what is that? To me, I'm giving nothing. And I don't even, I give something, I don't expect to receive. But whatever it was that I gave as an offering, it touched them. To the point where I was selected out of thousands of people and asked to follow Kenneth Hagin to come inside the boardroom. And there he sat and I shook hands with him and he said, thank you. So you see, what I'm teaching you is something I've practiced all through my life. Anytime I have met a man of God who was a great person like Fred Price, I always had in my mind that this is my opportunity to sow a seed and honor the person through whom God is blessing me. And so that I access not only the scriptural policies and principles, but the power that the person is carrying. So you make a mistake. There are people that make that mistake. Many people have made that mistake. All the churches for the years. Yeah, because if there was no power that is at work, we would not be having and experiencing what we are experiencing. Yes. We are experiencing great things from God. So there is great power available here. Great power is at work. So you must grow in your level of honoring. Yes. Now, I was recently at a conference. And I told them, all you pastors here are not honored by your members, but you honor yourself. You honor yourself. You see, and Jesus said, if I honor myself, it is nothing. You see, honoring yourself, and I told them, you take money from your, he said, if I honor myself, it is nothing. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing to you buy a calf to honor yourself. You decorate yourself in your house. You decorate yourself in whatever. It's nothing. It's when somebody honors you of his own intention. That is when it is something. Yes. So learn it. Learn how to honor. And I was teaching these pastors that you are not how you could be in the ministry because you are so secular. You see, the church is not an organization like, let's say, a company or whatever. A church is run by the Holy Spirit, by God, and His power, and His prophets, and apostles. So it's not about you honoring yourself. I was looking at them. All of them have a very good cars, expensive cars, but they are not honored. Their members don't even show any respect to them in a certain way. You wouldn't find the pastors, people giving gifts, but you see where prophets work. You notice prophets. You see people honoring them with huge gifts, cars, different things. And there is a reason. It's not just for nothing. There is a reason. And it really works for them. In fact, I once interviewed some members of a church which was being run by a prophet. And when I had just one, two, three testimonies that I understood why that person was there. Yes, I understood why he was there. Because he was 10 times more educated than the prophet. But he found it the best place to be. And the power is working. So people access the power that people can. The smallest gifts, they access it. Yes. So don't be deceived by, don't let the humility of the church and the pastors and the humility of the people who serve in the ministry deceive you. And you can never meet even me. You can never meet my needs. Because I don't have needs. By God's grace, there's nothing you can do for me that I need. There's nothing that I need. You will never have anything. Because I don't have anything that I need. And my life is quite simple. Unfortunately, there are few things that I need. I don't know whether it's unfortunate or fortunate, but I don't have anything to. Sometimes I'm so happy when something is poor. And so, praise God, I have something to buy. Because I've been looking at the things that they are selling. I don't need anything. You are not meeting needs. You are honoring. He said, if I am your father, where is the honor? Where is the honor? Where is the honor? So learn Galatians 6:6, birthdays, and every day to give prophets offerings and honor. Honoring prophets. Honor your prophets. And recognize your prophet who God has given to you. Let your eyes be like dove's eyes, concentrated in one direction. I'm teaching you what is good for you. I'm not showing you something I need. Like Paul said, I don't write this for what I need. That's what Paul said. Because anytime you talk about such things, you have to sort of clarify that it's not because I need this, I need that, I need that. No, no, no. There's nothing like that. Our church is way too blessed for me to be standing here to be talking about things. But the culture in Lighthouse is not a culture of honoring prophets. It's not a culture. We don't have that culture. We have a culture of receiving scriptures and also receiving the power, but not honoring the prophet and therefore not activating the power. So I walk amongst you and God's power is working. God is blessing us, making us into certain heights, which many ministries have never even touched the surface of. And we walking amongst us, but we are not able to tap into it. Whereas I am debt free and the church is debt free, many of the people who should have been at the height of prosperity are surrounded by debts, cannot do much financially. And those who are claiming to be doing business are poorer than those who are not claiming to be doing business, like myself. How can I be more prosperous than a businessman? Why should that be? He is the one trying to make money. I'm not trying to make money. Everything I do is as if I'm running away from money. Why would I come and preach to little children? People who don't even have phones, whose testimonies are God has given me an iPad and God has given me a phone. Those are the testimonies. They are not giving testimony. I got a contract, $23 million, this and that and that. They are giving testimony. I got a phone from my father. My uncle sent me this. My auntie sent me. These are the testimonies of my members. A Is it not amazing? But keep watching. Keep watching. Keep watching. Keep watching. So learn it. Learn at this stage. Not about you have this and have that, but learn it at this stage. Learn to honor your prophet. Yes. And activate the power. Look, when Mary and Martha called Jesus to their house to fast over him, to fast over him, go up and down, do this, and even to sit at his feet, that was the honor. No wonder the greatest of miracle of the entire ministry of Jesus, as far as I'm concerned, was done by these people who fast over him about what he doesn't need. We are doing this for you. 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 We are sitting before you like whatever. You are so great to us. He even called them his friends. Bible says Jesus loved Martha. He loved Mary. He loved Martha and her sister Mary. All the two of them. He blasted Martha, but he loved her. He blasted her cereal. I mean, he told her, look, you are not aiming for the right things. It has affected you. But when you read it, it says, and Jesus loved Martha. So, ye do, we've made a big mistake. We've made a big mistake. The power is there, but it passes by. Yes. Ye do, you are making an error. This is an error. It's a big mistake. Why? You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power. Or you know only the scripture, but you don't know the power. You didn't come here just... Look, this service is an encounter. By being here, you are going from strength to strength. You are not just here to learn some stories or to learn some rules or to learn some verses. I see this service as a power encounter for the changing of your level forever. You know, because we have only one service, usually, and then we have the evening service, you know, I see it as a main power encounter for your life. So see it. Don't just sit here learning, so I've come to write notes. You have come to receive power from the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Now, Jesus said, in the resurrection, they do not marry, neither are given in marriage. So any beloved you have, when I see my wife, I would say hi to her. Charlie, hi. How is it? So how are things? So your accommodation, is it okay? Is there anything I can do? I mean, I don't know my level and her level in heaven. But that's how we relate. We meet at meetings. I don't know what work we'll be doing. We meet. There's no man. Look, one brother died and ascended into heaven, but he was resuscitated. When he came back, he gave a testimony. He said that as he went up out of his body, he looked down at himself and he was shocked. Do you know why he was shocked? Because he was just flat. It was like there was nothing anywhere. No organs. There were no organs. So that is the reality, is that the organs were not there. There will be no sexual desires and all these things that we are having. No. He looked down and he was said what? Flat. All the organs, everything was gone. So you better marry quickly and use up all organs that God has given you. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. It's over. Marriage is over, beloved. Doses, all the songs on Beloved Doses. So if you want to propose, propose quickly. Some of you have been balancing at the edge. Should I propose or should I not propose? Wow. Is it amazing? The next is the interview with the lawyer. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, all the law and all the prophets hang. To love God, is the number one thing. There will never be anything greater than loving God. So everybody here must make it your aim to love. How can I love a God I cannot see? But this is the goal of my life. To serve without loving, no way. To serve God without loving God, no. This is the goal of my life. To love God. Loving God is the greatest instruction of all the instructions. It's higher than anything else. Now, unfortunately, many people feel, especially A1 brothers, they feel that loving their wives is the number one commandment. Tonight, I will be sharing something with you. About the dove. Yes. You will find out something you didn't know. To love, many people have that as the goal. You see, Satan is very clever. Either we don't love God, or when you love God, you don't love your wife. And you are such a bad husband. Then we have so many problems. Or when you love God, and then instead of not loving your wife and creating so many problems, you love your wife so much that you interpret loving your wife as loving God. This is a problem of A1 brothers. And most of us who grew up in good Christian scripture union backgrounds have this problem. You hear them say things like, if marks were given for marriage, I will get 95%. You hear them saying things like, my wife is my best friend. You hear them saying things like, I sleep in my wife's arms every day, and she sleeps in my arms every day. You hear them say things like, my wife and I are like Siamese twins. We cannot be separated. You hear them saying things like, after God sent Jesus, he sent my wife. Wow. Like God sent Jesus into my life. Then after that, he sent my wife into my life. Wow. These are A1 brothers. Is it not amazing?
It's amazing.
So, you see, you can... Another love that comes into A1 people is loving the work of God more than loving God. These are not things, these are not Satan. So the work of God is not Satan. The work of God is important. You can love the work of God so much, you don't love God himself. You know? I hope you not say I'm against the work of God. Because when you work for God, after some time, like if you sing, like when Curtis come to sing or Ims come to sing, I mean, they get fans. So after some time, you may sing without knowing that you are singing for the fans, but not that you love God. Yes, not that you love God, but you love singing. When you preach, people clap. People say amen. So at a point, you may preach and think that. It's so nice to preach, but you don't love God. So Jesus said the number one commandment is to love God. Nothing will be greater than loving God ever. No matter, even good things will not be greater than loving God. And it's a very important principle. To learn. It is number one. It cannot be changed. It cannot even be number two. No. Anything you try to make love of God number two, you'll be shocked at the response from God. Most women will not like to be number two. Even though you are not interested in providing 90% of the needs of the person, you wouldn't want another person to come and also take up 30% of the job. So, decide to love God. Now, when you love God, what happens? What happens? What happens? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for Christians.
No,
for all those that love God. That's what happens when you love God. Things start to work together for good. Things don't work together for good for those who don't love God. Things work together for good for God lovers. Amen. If you love God, there is a great benefit. So, well, I say, the great commandment is to love God. And so what? Loving God has benefits. Look, it says all the prophets and all the law hangs on it. So all prophecies that are spoken, say, God is establishing God. It hangs on loving God. It hangs on loving God. It hangs on the laws and the prophets and the prophecies hang or hinge on this commandment. So they may be prophesying to you at us, but you don't love God. All the prophecies you see in the Bible, it shall come to pass in the last days, the Lord will establish you. He will do this, you will shine as a light. It hangs on this thing, loving God. You can never know somebody until you know his love for God. And you often find that people who love God love his servants. Yes. I cannot say, you know, when you meet these politicians, you see that they mention their fathers in politics. Like if you meet Akufo-Addo and so on. They mentioned Buzia, Dankwa, and those type of people, Kufuor, and they have a family, they have fathers. Their heart is set on politics. They give their life to it. The tradition comes from these people. They were nurtured and trained. They have photographs. This is me with this one. This is me when I was with him. I was his campaign director. I helped him in this. I was his deputy minister. I was there. They are fathers. People who love God love his servants, not politicians. My heart and my love is set. My special moments are the moments I was with God's servants. When I stood with Oyedepo, it was a special time. When I stood with Bonke, it was a special moment. These are the special moments to me. With Benny Hinn and so on and so forth. Wow. Loving God and God being number one in your life is everything. When you love God, you love his house. When you love God, you love his people. When you love God, you give to him. And there are great benefits. Too nice to ignore. Too nice is 1 Corinthians 2:9. 2:9 is too nice. It is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. When I say eye has not seen, you must shout, hey! Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things God has prepared for those who love him. Too nice. Tell somebody, too nice. That's the benefit of loving God. That's the benefit of loving God. Things you have never seen. Have you seen Malaysia before? Have you seen Singapore before? Have you seen Japan before? Have you seen America before? Things you haven't seen. Places you haven't heard about. God will show them all to you when you love him. You are going to places you never imagined in your life. Only by loving God. One day I was in a hotel in Swaziland. Swaziland. And I don't know, but that day we sat in the breakfast room, the hotel, the restaurant, for about 4 hours. It's one of the, I was just amazed, like this country, you read about it, but I don't know that I'll be here. Years ago, this was many years ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago. I was in Ziguinchor. Do you know Ziguinchor? My love for God has taken me to places. Gambia, Banjul. I was once in a Moroccan hotel in Banjul. Yeah, designed with a Moroccan design. I played golf with a caddy in Gambia who knew Yaya Jammeh. He told me so many things. And after he begged me, I shouldn't say it. After he begged me, please. Because he realized he had said so many things that he shouldn't have said. Which I will also not say. Only in a private interview. You are going higher into places. You are going to better places. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it even occurred to you. It has not entered your heart. The things that God has prepared for you, you see them. You see them practically in Jesus' name. All those sitting down are not going to receive it. The way you jumped up was fantastic. Too nice. I said too nice. Too nice. Yes. God is doing it. Practically. I had never heard of a book like Mega Church. Loyalty and Disloyalty. Wise as Serpents. A Good General. How You Can Be a Strong Christian. Model Marriage. Art of Shepherding. Art of Leadership. Art of Ministry. Art of Following. You see things you have not imagined through your life. You see them practically. One day, I was in Moscow. And I was walking on the Red Square. And I saw where Lenin was buried. Yeah, the mausoleum. Lenin or Stalin? I think it's Lenin. Lenin, yeah. And I think I bought something. And there was a man, actually, who looks like Stalin, who was taking pictures. Like, you pay him and you take a picture with him. Yeah, that was the job that he does. That's the job that he does. Have you seen something like that before? Like, it's exactly like Stalin. So he comes to the square. And then when you see him, you say, ah, this is Stalin. Then he comes to take a picture. Every picture you pay. You see, you haven't seen certain things before. And it hasn't occurred to you before. So I bought something. And then I had the change. And I think it's, is it rubles? Rubles? Yeah. And I look at the money. And I realize I haven't seen that currency before. God will show you currencies you haven't seen before. Practically in your life. Receive it in Jesus' name. You are used to see this. You are used to see this and persuas. Things are changing. And how is it changing? It's by your love for God that your life is opened up to things eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, and it has never occurred to you before. That's how it happens. Too nice. Too nice. We have never seen this place before. I don't know that here is here. I don't know that they are having a swimming pool next door and a drinking bar. But I'm seeing it. Sit down. And finally, John chapter 4. Verse 6. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria. Now Jacob's well was there. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me to drink. You see, the woman came near Jesus, but she didn't know who Jesus was. So Jesus helped her to start the discussion. So he said, oh, fine, some water. And the woman said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to drink? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. In this first statement by Jesus, you learn a life's lesson. If you knew who it is that is talking to you, your attitude, your receptivity, your flow, and even what you would have asked for would be different. So it means that every one of us must know two things when you come near God's anointed. Two things. You must know who it is. One day I was sitting with Dr. Cho. You know, when you sit by him, he's an old man, very small. But if you knew who it is, so you have to know, because we don't know and we don't think to know who it is that's sitting there. And that is why sometimes it's people from far who read about. When you read about a person or about something, you know more. So sometimes those who are far. So you have to know who. You have to think, who is this? It's not just whatever. Who is this? Then number two, if you knew the gift of God, you have to know the gift that is at work. What gift is sitting in front of you? What gift is sitting in front of you? As I'm standing here ministering, you have to know what gift is working. What gift is this? What gift is this? From today you can teach. I heard him say to me, the gift of teaching. The pastor, the shepherd. That's the gift of the pastor. He said he gave gifts. You can see the pastor is speaking. He's feeding his sheep. Many of the people I've fed have become pastors and bishops. I fed and fed and fed and fed. They became pastors and they became bishops. The apostle, the one who builds churches. If you knew, you have to know the gift that is at work. If you knew the gift. The evangelist. Who sweeps thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. How many people can say that 10 million people have been led to Christ that we counted? Yes. The prophet who speaks casually as if he's having a conversation, yet he's informing you about something that is coming. Most do not know the gift. That is in me. So when I speak, because I don't do something, they think I'm not prophesying. Have you ever seen anybody, how they treat the prophets behaving towards me like that? So here is a honor you with this. Here, one person said he doesn't have ranch of cows. He has a ranch of cars. Yes. That people honor him. Prophet, but they will not honor. Yes. Even I don't claim to be a prophet, prophesying about elections and all that, but each time I've been asked, I told them, I said, you can't win. You can't win. You see, a true prophet doesn't only give good news, he tells you the truth. I said, you will not win. I said, you can't win. Another time I came, I said, you still cannot win. At this door, I was standing at this door, and I told some people, MP people, I said, this time you can win, but I don't know how. I said, this time you can win. And when I said, they said, oh, that one, I don't think we are. I said, but this time, I don't know how, but you can win. Yeah. So the prophet also working with you, but you may not know. Like Elisha, he said, I thought he would come out of his window and strike his foot and do something, but he didn't do all that. He just said, go and bath in the sea. Go and bath in the sea. If you knew the gift, an author, the gift of writing, the gift of writing, not all have the gift to write. That when you read it, you can understand, at least to a point. So your duty is not just to sit there like an idiot. Like an ignoramus. Just look at, your duty is to think two questions. Who is it that speaketh to me? Is it my friend? Is it just a man? Is it a pastor? Is it my relative? That's why relatives don't receive. That's why relatives, kinsmen, countrymen, don't receive. If he knew, God would say, you are my sister, you are my brother, you are my cousin, you are my this, you are my this, you are my this, you are my age group, you are my classmates, you are my whatever. Hardly do you find such people around. Classmates, colleagues, and what? There are few. Are you still there? Yeah, the room is getting cooler. And the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing. I have nothing. Are you greater than Jacob? And Jesus said, I'm more interested in what Jesus said than what the woman. I think she was now confused. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. When you drink from what Jesus is giving, you will never be thirsty. I don't need no ordinary water. No, 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 no. I just need that living water. Living water, living water. Listen, when you drink Jesus's, when I don't need anything. My life is satisfied. Anyone you see dancing in a club, like he's thirsty. He's looking for something. He's not yet finding it. Chasing one girl after the other, they are thirsty. They are thirsty, looking for something. They are not finding it. True. One man after the other, you are thirsty. And Jesus said, whosoever drinks. So make sure you drink. Make sure you drink. Make sure you drink. Make sure you drink and drink fully. And you will never need anything in this life. Yes. Thirst is what makes people buy so many cars. Steal so much money. If I can have it. I visited a house in Nigeria once. The next door house. They told me that when the revolution came or whatever, their poly tanks up all plenty was full of dollars. And Jesus said, go and call your husband and come hither. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. And the woman said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. It is now that she's seeing the gift that she's dealing with. So you see, all along he was a prophet, but it was now that she saw some slight sign. Don't take too long to discover the gift that is relating with you. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And Jesus said, believe me, the hour cometh when you, neither in this mountain nor there, but the hour cometh when the true worshippers shall worship Father in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah comes and is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. That I speak unto thee. And then, verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples came. They sent them to buy food. And said, Master, eat. And he said, I have meat. I am working. I'm full. I've been talking to this lady. I'm full. You see, when you work for God, you are satisfied. You look as if you don't care about earthly things. You are still thirsty and hungry because you don't work for God. Jesus said, my meat, or what satisfies me? When I'm doing it, I'm full. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, including talking to this woman. Those of you who have been given counseling to do, those of you who have been asked, let's go from room to room and person to person and talk one person. Jesus Christ came to this world and spoke to one woman. And when he was asked why he's not eating, he said, my meat, I am full when I talk to people. When I speak to somebody about God and teach the person, I become so satisfied. Ladies and boys. You want to be happy in this life. You want to be so full that you also be able to say that, I don't need anything. I don't know why I don't need anything. I'll tell you what to do. Do what Jesus did. Love people one by one. You see, you are too selfish to be happy in this life. I'll say it again. I say you are too selfish to be happy in this life. You are too self-centered. Your life centers around yourself. The laws of happiness are clear. Eat your bread with joy. Drink with a merry heart. That's one. Two, live joyfully with your wife whom you love. Ecclesiastes 9. Live joyfully. Eat your bread. Joy, eat and drink happily. Live joyfully with your wife. Let your head, your garments be white. Dress in the best way possible. Anoint your head with oil. And then, verse 10, then keys, these are the laws of happiness. Whatever your hand finds to do, shall it do it with all strength. So when you find one woman to talk to about Christ, you know, you'll be full, you'll be satisfied. You are too self-centered. From here, you are going to your room to think about yourself and about this and about that. Your life is just about yourself. So you wonder how you are not breaking out into happiness. Life is wild, though. Life is wild. If you don't learn the laws of... Me, my life is all about you, all about others that I'm thinking about, caring for, loving the people, one by one. Jesus was talking to one person. You are going to begin talking to people, sharing with people. Instead of always being visited, you are going to visit. Beautiful. And then he went on. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans believed in him. Wow. So when the Samaritans were come, they besought him that he would stay there. And he decided to stay there. And the woman said, now we believe not only because of your saying, but because of we have seen for ourselves the Savior of the world. A whole city was saved. Hallelujah. A whole city was what? Saved. A whole city was saved because this woman was spoken to by Jesus, who was full. I prophesy your satisfaction in this life. Yes. Can I speak to the girls? No boy in this world, even a Christian boy, and the happiest, nicest, faithful boy, can make you happy. If you don't know, you can, if you don't believe, write it down and fold it and keep it that I told you today. What date is today? March, eh? When are we 60 years old?
Tomorrow.
60 years old. Wow. Fantastic. We thank God for 60 years old. 60 years old. Are we going on retirement now? Anyway. Shh. As we go on, girls, remember, no girl, no boy. Now, you can write it 5th of March, I told you. Write your age. It is the waters of Jesus when you drink it that you will say that I am really satisfied. And boys, there is no girl, I'm telling you, who can make you happy. They will try. But after a while, you will see that either she doesn't know how to cook, or she doesn't know how to smile, or she doesn't know how to have sex, or she doesn't know how to be friendly, or she's accusing you, or she's bitter, or she's some way, or you don't even know what it is. Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. And let him alone make you happy and satisfy yourself with Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, thank you for today. You are taking us from victory, strength to strength, to strength, to strength, to strength. You are blessing us. You are blessing us. You are blessing us. Receive an impartation to work for God. Look at me for a moment. Your greatest mistake is to say that this work I've been given is something small. When Jesus met this woman with 5 husbands, Jesus didn't say, oh, me, the Son of God, I'm saving the world, I should do all this stupid. Never say any work given to you is small. It's not small. I see it as an honor to preach to you. I'm honored. When I sit on the crusade field, when I sit at the crusade, I always see it as an honor. The song that comes to me is thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing me.
Oh God, thank you for loving me. When on the cross you made history, Lord, you died for me forever. My praise will go to thee, oh God.
Thank you for choosing me.
Thank you for choosing me.
To be your child.
To be your child and bear
your name. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, I will never cease to sing your praise.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing me.
Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for loving me.
Father, thank you for choosing us to serve you, to work for you, to do something little, no matter how small it is, for you. There is no unimportant person in our lives that we cannot speak to and share your word with. We are grateful. Jesus, thank you for teaching us to talk to the vilest sinner and whoever people look down on. Thank you. Samaritans, women with difficulties and challenges, and people with sins, we thank you for choosing us to do something for you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch every life here with your power. Never the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed. If you are here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody invited you, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to know Jesus as my Savior, pastor. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Please pray with me. Pray for me. Help me to know God. If you are here like that, you want to give your life to God, you want to give your life to Jesus, pastor, help me. Please pray with me this morning. Then lift up your right hand wherever you are. Just lift it up high. God bless you. I see all your hands. I see your hand lifted up high. Over here, over there, everywhere. God bless you. Maybe somebody invited you, but you are not born again, or you don't even understand what it means to be born again. Just lift up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want to pray with you. I see all your hands. Now, if you are here and you are born again, but you are not serious, but you want to be serious. You are not a serious Christian, but you want to be a serious Christian from today. Raise up your right hand also. If you've lifted up your hand, come to me in the front. Come, quickly.
Come unto Jesus.
Quickly.
Jesus, let him have his way.
Lift up your hands. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you. Wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. From today, say from today, I will follow Jesus. Are you saying it? Say, from today, I belong to God and I will serve Jesus Christ. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am a child of God. I am a follower of God. I am a servant of God. Thank you, Jesus. I give my heart to you. I give my soul to you. I give my everything to you. From today, help me to serve you. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Now lift your right hand like this. Say after me, Satan.
Satan.
From today, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I reject you. I refuse you. Satan, from today, I will not follow you again. I will not follow you again. I belong to Jesus Christ. Lift your two hands. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now don't go back. I'm going to give you a special gift. This is one of my most popular books. It's called How You Can Become a Strong Christian. Recently, somebody ordered a number. Who is it? Is it you? 5,000 of these books. Not our church. He ordered 5,000 copies. He just had one. And he said, I need 5,000 for my Christians. And it costs 40 CDs for one. But I'm giving it to you free as a gift. Amen. So when you go, I want you to read the whole. Every chapter has something for you. It will be a blessing for you. Amen. So write your name in the book and then read it. Okay, now when we close, we are going to close in about 10 minutes. Is it this side? This side here. Come and sit there. I will come and pray with you before you leave. If you don't see me, tell the pastor, he's told us that if we don't see him, we shouldn't leave. So we cannot leave. Okay? And I'll come there and bless you. Do you want the blessing?
Yes.
It's a blessing. So as soon as we close, come for your blessing on this side. God bless you. You may be seated. give a clap offering. It's time for communion, very quickly.
Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever.
Can we sing this song together?
Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table of together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness the hundredfold, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word, gather round the table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Amen. Take, eat. Take and what? Eat. Wow. So can you imagine Jesus standing here, taking a piece of bread and saying to you, "Take this and eat it. This is my body." So what he was saying is that this bread you are having is now the body. Like, in other words, Jesus was saying, "I declare that this, it is declared to be my body." And Jesus said, "My flesh is meat indeed." Or like, "My flesh is really food." So why? Because Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life." So that's why Jesus said, "Take it and eat it. Take it and eat it. It is my body. Whoever eats my body has life." It's so different from any other food. There is no banana that comes near this particular meal. There is no amadan that comes near this meal. There is no kelewele that is like this meal. So when Jesus said, "Take, eat my body," what Jesus was saying, this bread, you know, that was the Lebanese bread that they sell. That was what they were using. He just broke a piece and said, "It's like, this is declared to be my body. This one is now my body. So I'm going to give it to you. This is now my body. Now, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have life." What do you mean by life? Whatever is not life in the life of Christ. Do you see? That is not in Christ's life, in your life, it's not in your life yet, will be when you eat this. Christ's life is coming into you. Can you imagine Jesus on admission? It was not part of his life to be on admission or on a trip. You will never be on admission in Jesus' name. Can you imagine Jesus' wife going into labor and she doesn't come back home? Or the child dies? No. Can you imagine Jesus, armed robbers, hands up, then Jesus, hands up? It will never happen to you in Jesus' name. It's not part of your life. Can you imagine Jesus doing psychology and political science and he had failed? When the failure list comes, Jesus Christ failed. From today, you will never fail any exam till you die. Can you imagine Jesus taking his ATM card to the ATM machine? When he put it in, there's nothing there. No money. So when Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. And you see, that eternal life gives you a feeling that it's like heaven. But it's the word Zoe, which is all types of life. Life, if you read, it's a very long definition of life. Practical life, physical life, life in all its forms, eternal life. Life is a big word, Zoe. That's her name. Zoe. It's a big Greek word. It means life in any way. Amen. Can you imagine Jesus dying before his time? You'll never go. Look, that the coffin which you are going to be to lie in has not been made, and it's not being made now in Jesus' name. The tree man is now going to be planted. I mean, later it will be planted. So Jesus said, take this one. Eat it. Then he took the cup, said, drink it. It's my life. I'm giving you life. Yes. And he said, as long as you do it, you do show the Lord's way, which means you manifest the cross and the power of the cross in your life. Power is manifested in your life as you receive this. Father, we thank you that this is declared to be the body of Jesus Christ in this moment. Bless and let your life enter into everyone now. In Jesus' name, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the blood. We have just eaten the flesh. Now, we are going to drink the blood. This is the blood. Whatever is in your life that shortens your life before it's the life is over is neutralized by this blood. You are declared full of life, full of energy, full of long life, full of health, full of blessings through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ.
On a hill far away,
no movement please,
stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
Everybody.
And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my
your hand and receive your blessing. Thank you that everyone that came to church today has received a mighty blessing. Receive the spirit of might. Receive the spirit of strength. Receive the spirit of power. Receive the grace of God. God is helping your life in a special way now. you are elevated 2 steps above where you are standing today. A lifting has taken place in your life today. God is lifting you permanently above the level you are standing on. Receive the power of God in your life and receive the word of God in your life. No one will ever find you at the same spot again after today. Can I hear a very loud amen? I said, no one will come and find you at the same level again. No one will find you at the same spot where they found you last year again. In the name of Jesus Christ. I see steps. I see steps. And I see you have gone up 2 steps higher. Permanently higher. Permanently higher. Permanently higher. In the name of Jesus. Your life is transformed. I said your life is transformed. Your life is healed. Your life is blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dyke-Ward Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.